Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Alexiel podcast number 17. And kind of like maybe after a rich meal, you would have a digestif just to settle things down. After the excitement of our old Jeremy Corbyn special, we're just it's just me and Talal today. And we're going to talk about my night with Jeremy. And then maybe do some podcasts and catch up on business. I think over the year or so that we've been doing this, I've promised people various things and probably never delivered. I'm not sure really. So Talal, anyway, how was it for you?
Oh, Jeremy, it was quite a magical day.
Mm.
Yeah, exhilarating. And yeah, upon a reflection, you do have moments of like, oh man, why didn't I ask him this? Or, you know, there are so many people who are wondering this one thing and they would kill for the opportunity to ask him this question because, you know, all our hopes were lying on this man. And it's, why didn't I ask him, hey, Jeremy, why didn't you just play the game? You know, we know you're a upstanding, you know, man with principle and you didn't want to lower yourself to their level, but why didn't you just play the game? You knew how this important it was for everyone.
Yeah, but then he was, you know, he couldn't do that, could he? Because that's who he is. It is extraordinary that this, I mean, well, several things. I mean, this sort of gentle, ridiculously, you know, gentle sort of man could be painted as this demon, I think. And, you know, a man who, you know, you go around his constituency and everybody, or if you go around with him or you go around the land, people, everybody's got stories of his kindness. And I think it, you know, it also speaks to what a lie our media is and, you know, that man could be painted as a demon is so extraordinarily wrong. You know, I mean, and that's also, I mean, one of the things I've kind of circled around, I think I've talked to a few, you know, talked on this podcast a few times, is one of the things I struggle to understand is why, you know, why so many people got so angry with him, really. And that, you know, as we talked about with Carrie and with him, is that he, I think, made people realize, you know, I think probably as Jesus did, that he made people look into their own souls and realize that there was nothing there, and that makes them crazy.
Yeah, and also how frightfully skillfully the media twisted his image.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're highly motivated, aren't they? You know, it's a deep psychological need to. Because he threatened them in so many ways that you know, it was a dire psychological need that he had, that they had to undercut him in any way. Yes, I was in a kind of daze for the day, next day as well, really. I remember the Friday, we did that on the Thursday, and the Friday was also, I was kind of feeling kind of dizzy. I suppose also we were, I mean, it's got, I mean, you were saying just before, it's got like, we've had 30, 40,000 listens, which is, you know, pretty good. We did vaguely have a hope that he would say something like, you know, I fucking hate Keir Starmer.
Yeah, but
I'm going to fucking challenge him to a fight on College Green.
But he sat next to you.
I fight for the Labour. But
there was no point. But what I mean is, like, if you're next to a tsunami, there's no point taking a piss on the beach. It's like, you're already doing it.
But we had this fantasy that he would say something like, really, you know, I'm fucking starting my own party, you bastards. And then it would get picked up by the, you know, mainstream media, and then, you know, it would go, you know, it would go viral. And
ironically, we wanted to make headlines.
We did. We had a dream, and that didn't happen really. But on the other hand, it provided. It keeps growing every day, doesn't it? Still, people are listening to it. In a thousand years, people will be listening to that podcast. And so, who is Wilf?
It's permanent record now. And after everything he's been through, it's so nice to have, you know, just have a long form conversation with someone really just without attacking him. I think that's important too.
Yes, because he's had enough. I thought, obviously wasn't. He's had enough aggressive conversations to last him several lifetimes, hasn't he? So I wasn't.
And if we did tease him into saying something salacious, I would hate to be the cause for any more, you know, harm of his reputation or anything like that.
True.
I'm really happy with the outcome. And although there are, no matter what happens, you'll always have an inkling of regret or something you should have said or whatever. But I am just glad. I kept it in my pants, essentially, metaphorically speaking. You know, I didn't lose my shit, and it was really nice. It was,
I was thinking. I mean, I didn't ask him, and there was no point in asking him about that. I think he did try and in the early, he did try and both appease the right wing of his party, and also, but also the right wing, his right wing enemies, like, you know, the board of deputies, or, you know. And I always think that that was a you know, and he allowed, you know, on his watch, certain good people like Jackie Walker and Mark Wadsworth were expelled from the party. And I didn't really press him on that. I mean, I also think John McDonnell was maybe more, was tried to appease these. I mean, it's a ridiculous. I mean, these people are bullies, and they're never going to, you know, you appease them and they just want more and more. But maybe John McDonald would like to come on and I'll ask him those hard questions.
I didn't feel like he held his tongue much. We just didn't, yeah, we didn't push necessarily in those directions either, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
maybe this will be, now that we've shown him it's a safe space, we might be able to tempt him back into the trap once again and then really get him.
Yeah, well, we want to toughen him up as well. But we want to make him more. Maybe we want to make him more aggressive. You know, just because he's too gentle. You know, maybe we change him into, like, you know, kind of like a Rocky kind of figure. You know, bring out that aggressive side of him.
No, he's got nothing to lose.
So we just want to go and kick Keir Starmer's head in. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it really is brought out the kind of riff that you see over and over again. In the comments and feedback we've had from the episode, is like half the people think he should start his own party or a new party should be formed and all of the Corbynistas should flock to this new wave. And then half people are like, no, keep fighting within the party.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I mean, fine. I mean, do whatever you've got to do, really. I can't see how, even if the Labour Party, you know, because the MPs are always going to be reactionary. The MPs, and they've been given more power. The MPs are never in our lifetime, certainly in my lifetime, going to allow another left-wing leader, as far as I can see. So I can't see, you know, why you would stay in the Labour Party. On the other hand, of course, whatever you know, the left, the entire left in the UK has been spectacularly bad at forming anything that isn't the Labour Party, so I can see there's an argument for staying in it, really. But it seems like a horrible organisation, really.
You mentioned many episodes ago about a new party you wanted to form called the Nice People Party, and I get so many emails just really sincerely wanting you to do it. Or
I kind of went away from that. I got a bit caught up in other things, didn't I? Yeah, well, maybe, you know, I think, I mean, one of the things that, because I'm doing a thing with Chris Williamson, I think, in a couple of weeks, which he's talking about in Nottingham, which he's talking about founding a new party, Festival of Resistance, if I'm sure there are, I'm sure tickets are available. And, you know, well, I think one of the things, and I had an interesting discussion with a guy a while ago about, you know, one of the things that's lacking often from, you know, the kind of left proposition is that, and I don't know whether I said this before, but it lacks a kind of spiritual dimension. You know, it can get kind of whiny, I think, you know, the kind of left. And certainly in terms of the Labour Party, you get bogged down in this kind of proceduralism of committees and composite motions and all that bullshit. You know, I think, you know, a political philosophy that, you know, while it has a kind of Marxist kind of economic analysis, also has a kind of maybe a spiritual dimension as well, that it's about, you know, healing everybody and healing the planet, really, and just, you know, kind of trying to progress to the next stage of what mankind could be, because this isn't working out, really. I don't.
We're in
think.
A rut, aren't we?
We're a bit, you know.
Yeah.
Love Island, Australia. That's not the apotheosis.
It's not. We do need to reach a higher level, but
real Housewives of Atlanta.
We got to try and avoid that kind of culty. When you said spiritual, I shivered a little bit. You know, we got to try.
Yeah,
and,
no,
I know what you mean. I agree.
It's like AA, isn't it? Your God as you understand them, you know. It's a, I don't know, it's got to speak to the soul as well as the mind, I think. politics, you know, and it's too often, I think the left proposition is too dry. That's all I'm saying. I haven't really, this is one of those things where I thought it would, something would emerge as I spoke, and it hasn't really. It sounded a lot better in my head. But I'll continue working on it. This is the first moment in what the philosophers would later call sailism, the synthesis of Marxism, Hegelianism, and cognitive behavioral therapy, which and Buddhism and Chinese martial arts, the synthesis which Sale came up with on Friday, the 8th of October, 2021, and ultimately came to change the world, the destiny of mankind. You were there. You were there, people, when it happened.
It's, mate, you've just reminded me of so many fucking psychedelic trips I've had. Like, I know it's a cheap pull, but it's like, if we could only dump like a large quantity of mushroom tea in the British water system.
Yeah.
And get everyone to just have a moment of transcendent realization that really there's. But now we sound like Russell Brand.
That's true, which is, well, you know, he's a popular guy.
This Festival of Resistance, is this the thing on 16th and 17th of October?
I think it is.
Well, this podcast should be out before then. That's in Nottingham. Right. So if you're over in Nottingham and you want to see Alexi in the flesh with Chris Williamson, did you say? What are you doing with him?
Yeah, it was just, I like. Who's over 70, but he's a vegan and he's very stern left winger. But he's an amazing nick, I think, and was expelled from the Labour Party for some made up bullshit.
And what are you going to do with him? A little chat on stage?
Well, I think I'm on a panel. I think with talking about how to found a new party. That's why I'm sort of this is the start of me thinking about what I'm going to say, really.
Okay. Pitch Sailism to the people of Nottingham at the City Conference and Banqueting Centre.
Marxism, Sailism.
Yes.
Marxism, Sailism, Sun Tzuism. Who else do we admire? Pitch Perfect Tuism. And a Kendrickism.
I love that German guy who's in those films.
Oh, in the second one, you mean, in Das Sound Machine?
Yeah.
He's really good, isn't he?
He was in The Suicide Squad with your friend.
Oh, was he? I haven't seen that yet.
He plays Javelin. What the fuck? What the fuck is his name? Doesn't matter. We've had such an outpouring of love and support, like I mentioned, from the Corbyn episode. So thank you to all the new listeners and everyone who's joined our Patreon and... speaking of the Patreon, like there's really like honestly a couple hundred new members of the Patreon since that episode. So it took getting Jezza on the show to really get our Patreon up there.
We haven't got to a point yet where I can stop moaning about me paying for this shit.
We're almost there.
Getting it.
I think double up what we've got now, then I'll never have to ask you for money again for any of the fees or equipment or anything like that. I think we could just run off the Patreon. People are going through quite drastic lengths to support us. Someone has... So Carol, thank you for joining the Patreon. She's subscribed. And when her daughter was a young child, she set up a direct debit to the World Wildlife Fund. In her daughter's name, and now her daughter's a 15-year-old goth and not interested in conservation. Probably gone down a nihilistic route, so she's taken the money out of the World Wildlife Fund and directed it our way.
That's brilliant. I think
she's also stopped giving money to the Labour Party, and neither group will ever do anything positive for society. But at least the leopards aren't self-serving cunts. And they're gorgeous to look at. And a few others have stopped their Labour Party donations and sent
excellent. Or maybe that's the thing we could say. Stop sending money to the Labour Party and send it to us instead. I think that would be an excellent idea.
Paddy asks, who is more likely to use this money to affect meaningful social change? Neither, I realise, but at least the podcast isn't being led by irredeemable bastards. That's very nice. Thank you. Owen, this as this podcast has got him through lockdown. He's loving the A to Z. We'll get back to the A to Z soon.
Oh, yeah. We need to think about that.
Ian says, thanks for getting Josie on. Helen donated to us, has signed up to the Patreon as well. She's a big rugby league. She's from a big rugby league socialist family.
All right.
And okay. Loved the Tony Collins episode.
Yeah. And we were going to do Victoria, who's done a kind of PhD about rugby league and Marxism, I think, or feminism. So we should do that at some point, yeah.
We've had a message from Magnus. He's emailed and signed up to the Patreon and messaged on the Patreon, and so he really wants to know, Alexi, something. He loves the podcast, wants you to do a more imaginary sandwich shop. Did you know, Alexi, or maybe did your parents know, my grandfather, Jeff Mildwater? He ran for election in 1950 for the Communist Party in Bethnal Green. He was a veteran of the Spanish Civil War with the International Brigade. Mm-hmm. He died in the 80s, but Magnus is fascinated by his history in the Spanish Civil War. So he's very impressed by our interview with Professor Paul Preston.
Yeah.
You know this guy, Jeff Mildwater?
No, I don't. My parents really didn't know that many people outside Liverpool, really, in the CP, but he sounds like a fascinating guy.
Okay. Riley says, signed up to the Patreon. Thank you for the podcast. Love the Desert Island Discs. And he's come across an interview with you from 1984 for a now defunct publication called 1-2 Testing, where you listed eight songs you have on your Sony Walkman.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess what those eight songs were in 1984 that were on your...
1984? Yeah. No, but please, I have no idea what they would be, but... Huh? Have you got them
I
there?
I think one of them was on the Desert Island Discs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, can you guess which one was that in 1984?
Pirate Jenny.
No, Shipbuilding by Robert Wyatt.
Oh, Shipbuilding. Did that come out in 1984? Jesus.
Well, it's probably out before that.
Yeah. Well, Falklands War, so.
We got Mac the Knife by the Berliner Ensemble.
Yeah, well, same thing, really. Yeah, a Brecht, yeah.
Your Love is King by Sade.
Sade. Well, you know, fuck off.
It's great. I love that. That's the great song.
It's a great song.
Fucking great song. That was a great album. Unbelievable album.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking I could have... I love a mad sort of woman singer, really. And I'm a huge... I couldn't find a space in the end for it. I would have liked to do Tori Amos, really. I would have liked to, if I had a bit more room on Desert Island Discs, I would have. I love that one that goes silent all these years. You know, excuse me, but can I be you for a while? My dog won't bite if you sit real still. I got the Antichrist in the kitchen yelling at me again. Yeah, I can hear that. Wow. But I was thinking maybe how would people feel about Alexi Sells sings Tori Amos as an album, you know? Don't you think that would be while cycling possibly?
I guarantee you that would be great. It's been a while since you've released a music record and what more left field and unexpected thing could it
Tori I mean that's one of the greatest lines Yeah, I mean, when she says on the same song, you know, you found a girl who thinks really deep thoughts. What's so amazing about really deep thoughts? You best hope that I bleed real soon. How's that thought for you? Fucking hell.
Wow.
Fucking hell, man. It's a fucking whole story right there, isn't it?
But why is the Antichrist in her kitchen?
Because she's mad.
Okay.
It's this bloke who's going out with a woman who's like completely nuts. I don't know whether that's a pejorative term now. It's her side of the story, really. That she, you know, and he's found somebody else. He's met this other girl and he thinks, oh, I love her because she thinks really deep thoughts. And so, you know, this girl, the Tori Amos character, as it were, is really angry with him. But she is also quite disturbed, I think. It's an amazing song.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and so many Tori Amos, you know, Boys for Pele and Crucify.
6 months in a Leaky Boat by Split Enz.
Okay. Yeah. Song.
This is you. I like this record because it reminds me of Australia, which is a very nice place as long as you're not an Aborigine.
I'm so funny.
Night Nurse, Gregory Isaacs, classic.
Our night nurse, night nurse, only you alone can quench this here thirst. I was a label mate of Gregory Isaacs.
Ah.
We were both on Island Records. Actually, I was at this festival in Larne last weekend in West Wales, and one of the other guests was Baxter Dury, son of Ian Dury. And we shared a car. It's very typical of this festival. I mean, the car waiting for us to take Carmarthen to take us the 10 miles or whatever to Larne was a Nissan Micra, and not even a new one.
Oh,
I mean, like
God.
a 2002 fucking Nissan Micra. And I like Larne Festival. I've done it many times. And, you know, any other festival, I'd be like, no, Lexi's not leaving the station until you get at least Mercedes E-Class or comparable. But you just say, fuck it, you know. So me and Linda, the driver, and Baxter Dury got in this fucking, and he's not a small boy, got in this fucking Nissan Micra. But it did make me realize how much of my own hit, because then we were talking about how his dad, for people who may remember, there was a TV ad called Hello Tosh Got a Toshiba, which was based on my song Hello John Got a New Motor, which I was paid for, so okay. You know, but his dad sang it, Ian Dury sang
oh,
it.
Oh shit.
Both times with the two advertising campaigns, but when it made me realize how much of that song I'd really ripped off from Ian Dury. So it was kind of like, or was, shall we say, was inspired by Ian Dury. And Baxter said that when his dad took part in that, Baxter briefly went to private school until the money ran out from the Toshiba ads. But I just made me realize, you know, how much Ian Dury really had influenced me in my brief musical career, really.
And now Tori Amos.
Tori Amos. And she could do me. She could do Hello, John Got a New Motor.
You could do a swap. You could do a musical exchange.
She could do some of my other. She could do Dr. Martin's Boots. Do my other hits. And, Alexi Sells sings Tori Amos. I think that could be.
Fucking great song, Dr. Martin's Boots. Me and my girlfriend sing that to each other all the time.
Do you? Oh, that's nice.
We just like break into it. We're having a conversation. I go, creed your ideology, kind of creed or roots. And then we start singing. Relax, Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
All right. Okay. Well,
that's in there
I'm
too.
Boys.
Yeah. Nearly done. Instinction by Defunct. I've never heard of this.
Oh, fuck knows. I must have been. Yeah.
And the guy who emailed us this list, he told me that that song was banned by the BBC.
Okay.
So you were trying to get cancelled by the BBC back then, even, is the joke he connected there.
Right.
And finally, Once in a Lifetime by Talking Heads. Great track.
Letting the days go by. Let the water hold me down. Letting the days go by. Flowing underground into the blue again.
Beautiful song.
After the money's gone.
I like Talking Heads a lot.
Once in a lifetime,
and he used to wear a massive suit, and you used to wear a tiny suit.
Yeah, so everything's connected.
I'm trying to link things together here.
Everything's a giant web of connections.
So thanks, Riley, for that list. That was a fun walk down memory lane there.
Yeah.
Lauren, thank you for signing up to the Patreon. I would shout out everyone, but literally there were hundreds of you. So I'm just reading people who've sent us messages. Lauren said, fuck Starmer. And finally, Bay. Thank you. They loved the episode with Jez. And he said, I need to plead more on each episode. It was my little ad break last episode that made him finally sign up. Him or her, sorry.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I think we could do it. You could make it a bit more punchy, I think, than, you know, you could.
Okay.
Make it a bit more. Patreon.
Do you want me to try one now and you can give me notes?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Hey, folks, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Lexicel podcast. Oh, man, it's so much fun to do, and we really want to keep it going as long as possible and do as many videos on YouTube and podcasts for you all. So please, like, if you want to support the show, go ahead and please go to visit our Patreon. It's the most direct way you can support us, show us your love, and literally keep the wheels turning. Go to patreon.com/AlexisCell podcast. Let me just double check I got that right. Yes, it's I should really check the website address. Yes. Go to patreon.com/AlexisSale podcast. That's patreon.com/AlexisSale podcast to subscribe for any amount of money that you see fit that we deserve. And we promise to provide you with plenty of great content every other week or so. And thanks. I kind of fizzled out at the end there.
Yeah, we can. Well, now I could channel my years as a voiceover artist, you know, doing. So that was great, Talal. Thank you. We're going to go again.
Mm-hmm.
When you say podcast, can you get a sense of kind of longing into the word podcast?
Longing, okay.
No, we won't bother. But Wild Bean Cafe at BP Connect. Great food on the go. That was me.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Isn't that is Wild Bean Cafe attached to Marks and Spencer's?
No, BP.
Okay.
Oh, I've stopped doing adverts because it got too wrong, really. So I stopped doing them. Mm. The last thing I auditioned for, they told me I was going to, was for the Vitality Dog. You know, in the Vitality Insurance.
The little dachshund.
But I said, they said, yeah, we want you to do it. But I could hear some other guy in my head on the tape. They were it wasn't a tape by then, but it was like, I said, you're going to give this to this other guy. And they're like, no, of course they did. Which is just as well because, I decided I could no longer ethically do it, really.
Do you want me to try again?
I suppose so. Do can you just do like a 10-second now? See, yeah, there's a test for you. I mean, usually, obviously, you have a script. Do like a 10-second.
Okay. All right, give me a second to try and think. Hey, guys, Talal here from the Alexis Sale podcast. Look, if you're enjoying the show and you want to support us in the most direct and loving way, that is... I fucked it! Let me take another take.
See, this would be in the control room, which you couldn't be able to hear the agency and the they'd be going, no, we've got to get somebody else.
No, guys, please, I can see you whispering.
Let's get John Thompson.
Just let me give me one more shot, please. I got it, guys. I've had a break.
We'll tell him it's great, but then we'll get somebody else.
Don't worry.
Okay. That's great, Talal. Can you do it again?
Yeah. Press record. I'm on it.
All right.
Hey guys, it's me, Talal, from the Alexis Sale podcast. Gosh, we have so much fun doing this show. And you know what? We want to keep doing it for you as much as possible. And the best way for you to show your support and keep the reels turning is by going to... Fuck, I...
Now, we've really got to get rid of him. He's terrible. He's awful.
Please, I got this. Here we go.
Tick the box. This is a disaster. It's cost us a fortune.
Hey there, guys. It's me, Talal, from the Alexis Sale podcast. Look, I just slipping in here. Sorry to interrupt the show, but I just want to let you know of the most efficient way you can support this show and keep the wheels turning. That's by heading to patreon.com/AlexisSale podcast. That's patreon.com/AlexisSale podcast. Podcast. I said it longingly at the end there.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
I think I nailed it with that one.
Yeah.
Do another couple emails?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, actually, before we do more emails, we did get a couple complaints about, as you remember, about you're talking about bullets and guns and stuff.
Yeah.
But I've been dying to show you this ever since you first brought it up, and I keep forgetting. So I'm going to show it to you now. I found a bullet on a bus.
All right.
And I want to know if you can identify it. It's a all big right. one.
Well, blimey, you found that on a bus?
It was on a bus, on the back seat of the 226 bus. I found it when I was a teenager, back when it was the PR1 bus, actually. Found it on my way to school. So I had this in my blazer pocket for a whole day of school once.
Right.
And it's been on my shelf, like, ever since.
Yeah. It's a 50 cal, I think. Look at it's either, if it's Soviet, it's 12.7 millimeter. I can't see what that's.
I can read the bottom for you, but it's got a little red outline around the thing at the bottom. It says LHA2, and then it has a number on it, 69. Oh, nice. and then the letter K. So that's,
I don't know what any of that, but that looks like a 50 cal to me, which is a, you know, which is a full a machine gun round. I mean, a big proper full sized or mid sized.
The top bit
gun.
Spins, like the top bit spins.
That shouldn't do that. It's obviously not live or anything.
Do you think?
I doubt it.
I'm not worried one day it's just going to blow up.
I think that's highly unlikely. Yeah, it's a powerful bloody round, and so it's mostly used in. It was still used in machine guns and Browning machine guns, or if it's Soviet in. Well, somebody else can correct me. Oh God, I can't remember what the Soviet kind of medium machine guns called, but or can be also used in what they call an anti-materiel rifle, which is like the Barrett Light 15 or the Gepard, which is the rifles that fire a very heavy round, so they're used to disable vehicle engines and stuff.
Huh. Are those the guns that have the crank that you turn?
No, that's a fucking Gatling gun. That's from the 19th century.
L11A2, 50 cal British.
Told you it was a 50 cal.
Yes, you're right. I've just like Googled the little code that was on the bottom. Yeah. It wasn't LHA2, L11A2. Yeah. Yeah, someone's put it on a forum and they've got a picture of it and it's the exact same.
Yeah.
It's the exact same bullet as mine. I think it's British made.
Powerful round, usually fired in a machine gun with what they call disintegrating link belt or a metal belt that disintegrates. I mean, fired from a Browning machine gun, which is, the 50 cal's been going, I think, since probably the very early 20th century.
Well, there you go. That was my bullet. I was a teenage schoolboy. I found that on the backseat of a bus. You can imagine how excited I was that day.
Mm.
And also slightly scared. All right. The episode with Josie Long we did... She gave us the idea what to do with our Lego Alexi figures. Yes?
Yeah.
We need a worthy act to reward with such a limited quantity item. So I thought fan art was a fantastic idea. Thanks, Josie, for that. Now, Helen Hooper... sent this email. Dear Alexi and Talal, I really like your podcast. I really like pottery. I really like autumn. I have tried to combine...
I'm liking where this is going. Yeah, go on.
I have tried to combine all three. I hope you're not as what the fuck as my family. Hope the pod keeps on trucking. So do you want to describe what you're looking at there?
I'm looking at a series of ceramic leaves.
Hmm.
And they say pink hippo glove puppet. So titles are various. About ammunition. And my phone keeps...
ABC, ammunition, Bolshevism, and communism.
Yeah. So that's one. Well, they're all leaves, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some blue leaves, just leaves, I think. And then, there's some multicolored leaves, also warm gazpacho. Well, that's very nice.
They're beautiful and very random.
Yeah.
But yes, so like etched.
Well, that's got to be rewarded.
100%, right?
Yeah.
So like etched into the back of these ceramic leaves are titles of various Alexis L podcast episodes.
I mean, you know, I always think the definition of genius, isn't it, is making cognitive leaps. You know, like Marx was a genius because he had this kind of, he was able to synthesize the economics of Ricardo with the humanistic philosophy of Hegel. And so similarly, what she called Helen, has synthesized ceramic leaves and the Alexis L podcast. She's made that cognitive leap.
I agree.
Yeah, that's why it's genius.
Fuck yeah. All right, Helen, you're a genius on the levels of Marx, the great Karl Marx. who loved Ricardo, apparently. Is that how he got his deliveries?
Ricardo,
sorry. Yes, so I'm going to message you back, Helen, and get your address and send you a Lego figure. That leaves us with four Lego figures left. So let's wait and see the next couple of months what kind of artworks we get sent. I've been sent some very tantalizing emails saying, I'm painting something for you now. Save me one. So let's wait and see.
And I have signed them. I've signed the sort of packaging.
Yeah. You've signed them. Each one
is. Did that on the train back from Canvey Island.
Yes. Canvey Island. What do you think?
Canvey Island. Yeah, no, I like it a lot. I mean, it's sort of, I worry sometimes that the bike rides were like a lockdown thing because they're sort of, they chug along, don't they? But they, you know, I like a pointless. Well, I talk about it, I think, on the second leg of Canvey Island. I talk about how I was approached by various TV production companies that want to do a kind of to commercialize the bike rides. And I just said, two things really. I said I just wanted it to be a bleak kind of locked off journey through stark industrial landscapes. And then also Siobhan McSweeney from Derry Girls also did something riding around Northern Ireland on a bike, she electric bike called Thunderclap. So, that went away again. So I don't know. It's my inclination. Both with Milton Keynes, we did certainly see a decline in viewers from the first Milton Keynes to the third, which was just, apart from the robots, was just bleak housing estate after bleak housing estate, and sort of rain, sodden path and that. I mean, I like the, as I talk about the interzoning, I like these bleak landscapes. But maybe, I'm interested to know what people think, whether they want to see, more vibrant kind of urban settings, or, I'm open to suggestions with that about where.
Well, we've got
where I should go. Really,
it is a tough one because we've created something quite niche and very bleak and people keep calling it slow TV, which is a new phrase to me. And the viewers declined through our Milton Keynes saga, but the ones who stuck around are the ones who wanted exactly what we were making.
Yeah.
You know? And I even, on the last one, so whenever we release a bike ride, now they're not called lockdown bike rides anymore, they're called Alexi Sales Cyclo Geography. So
that might put people off.
We've rebranded it outside of the lockdown context. Yeah. And on the recent, so I normally premiere them on YouTube, and then I watch along and take people's questions and stuff as we watch along. And it's really nice. I guess, returning people to the premieres month after month. So it's really nice to catch up with them and just see how much it's reassuring to hear them say, I love this. Please don't change a thing. Because I did a casual poll on the last premiere and asked people, what do you think about the idea of me adding some lo-fi music to the background of this? And I think a lot of people said, you should try it and see what it's like. But there were a few comments that stuck with me. It's always the minority that stick with you. But like saying, no, it's perfect as it is. It's simple. It's bleak. It's slow TV. I like to have it on there in the background while I do some, writing or drawing or something. So,
yeah, well, I'm inclined, at least in the short term, to go along with that, I guess. So I'll see what people say if they email in or whatever with their preferences. I mean, I suppose if it drops below like a couple of thousand, it would, maybe be time for a change. But I'm happy to. Might do an urban one next anyway. But I'm as I define what it is, I am increasingly drawn to the bleak landscapes and less and less happening really. That's what that Owen Hadley review said. That's what he liked. But obviously, clearly, the viewing figures are descending slightly. So,
Well,
I don't know. But that, fuck it, who cares?
Yeah, when we first met up and started hashing out what we're going to start producing together, simplicity and we don't want to overproduce. That was kind of the key words that stuck with us from the beginning. But we had a new comment on the very first bike ride that you did to Kingsland Basin along the canal. And you talked about cycling politely when you're going along the canal and not to go too fast and scare people and stuff. But Sam commented on that video. Just thought I'd add this tale here with regards to Alexi's comments about bicyclists on canals. I was once cycling on that very canal, and I was very slowly approaching a couple to move in front of me, but I waited politely. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, a man on a bike sped up behind me and overtook us without hesitation, cycling like a lunatic. He had his phone in one hand and was texting at the same time. He went under the bridge, around a blind corner in the same fashion. No ringing of bells, nothing. And he caught up with him later and wanted to give him a bollocking, but he got onto the road before he could say anything. But he did catch a glimpse of who it was, and it was Owen fucking Jones.
Really?
The reckless canal cyclist. Watch out for him, he says.
Well, I think that, yeah, okay. All right, well, all right, yeah. You see? Yeah. That's what I, okay, yeah. Owen Jones, Guardian journalist, okay.
I giggled when I read that.
Yeah, not quite like that.
Amanda sent us an email. She's a nurse, 60-year-old nurse for the NHS mental health nurse, and loves our show. She loves the podcast with Jeremy and Carrie. Gave her hope that the left will rise again like sleeping lions casting off their chains. Very dramatic email.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh yes, good to hear Jeremy's support for refugees. Her father was from Latvia and had to leave when the Russians were coming to shoot her grandfather, who was a Lutheran minister. Mm-hmm. And they brought their family to Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't be here, nor her sons, if it weren't for the UK letting her dad's family into the country. Mm-hmm. I've got one more I definitely want to read to you. This was uncanny. Do you mind one more?
Yeah, go on. We should probably...
Yeah, we'll wrap up in a moment. Yeah. This is from David Stewart. But not the Dave Stewart, I don't think.
No, well, I knew the Dave Stewart, but yeah, well, as we established early on in this podcast. Yeah, anyway, go on.
Yeah, but okay, David Stewart. Dear Alexei, you are the object of much admiration from a corner of the internet I inhabit, a forum called Cooked and Bombed, which started 20 years ago to talk about Chris Morris and now discusses comedy and everything else. For example, your podcast is raked over in the comedy chat thread here, and he sends me a link, which I will pass on to you, Alexei.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a forum where they dissect our show.
Wow. And I like that idea. I like, you know, I like the kind of Talmudic exegesis, anything that people apply to me. I'd like more people to do. I don't know if anybody's done their PhD on my philosophy, but they on my comedy. But
Sailism.
They really should do. Well, yeah. I'll just on my stand-up. I'll give you a little nugget there then. I was cycling down Oxford Street not that long ago, I think, and I saw on the corner of, let's say, Wardour Street, Chris Morris, who I've never met as far as I can remember, deep in conversation with Adam Curtis. You know Adam Curtis?
Yes. The Power of Nightmares.
So how meta is that? Chris Morris chatting, and I know Adam Curtis a bit. And so I thought about stopping, and because I admire Chris Morris, and but I didn't.
Oh,
that's it.
It's a fucking great story, man.
It's a great story. It's a fantastic story.
Oh.
Yeah, Chris Morris chatting to Adam Curtis.
That would have been, and then to add you into that equation,
and then put me in the mix as well.
That would have been like, whew, whew.
But I did. I just kept going. Really, I thought no.
Yeah, they're both legends in their own way, both like very interesting and powerful output. Four Lions, of course, is
brilliant film, much underrated. Yeah. I mean, amazing film, yeah. I mean, he's Oxbridge, you know, he's that, you know, he's one of that crowd, isn't he, Armando Iannucci and stuff. But, you know, I think his, you know, that's offset by, you know, the kind of waywardness of the things that he's done.
Mm.
They tried to trick me, though. And actually, I hold no grudges. They tried to trick me with on the day-to-day. They had a story about, because I was less so now, but I was quite prominent in animal rights. And they had a story about, I think they got on the phone and, like, had this story about an animal, an elephant that got its trunk stuck up its arse or something. And, you know, and I was like, fuck off, who is this? You know what I mean? Because they got that, you know, that one, they got all those idiot celebrities about the the drug cake. Do you remember? All kind of fulminating again.
Yeah, the cake episode.
This imaginary, yeah. And so they had a similar one, which I think they did use about, you know, inveigling harmless animal rights activists into making fools of themselves with this story about an elephant who got its trunk stuck up his ass. But I just went, oh, fuck you.
Oh, nice. You saw through it.
This is a gag.
Oh, man, he tried to get you. Fuck. Why did he think you would fall for that? And why would he go after the comedian?
Well, you know, I'm a bit of a prick, so I mean, it's fair enough. But, animal rights. I mean, animal rights people can, I guess you're vulnerable in a way, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm making that up. I think this is all true.
Well, yeah. So I'm thrilled and honored that there's this forum with.
Yeah, I love that.
With a lot of comments.
I will never look at it. But I am thrilled that it's happening.
But that's cookedandbombed.co.uk, and neither the words cooked or bombed have E's in them. They go straight to the D. Cookedandbombed.co.uk, and there's a forum. The topic is the Alexis L podcast within the comedy chat forum. So, Chris Jury. Does that name ring a bell to you?
Yeah, I think so.
The actor.
Yeah.
Chris Jury. He was on Bloody Lovejoy, and he was also in a
sketch of mine.
Holby City, and in a sketch of yours. He emailed in. He emailed in, says hello, he listens to the show.
He had to fire
a handgun in one of these sketches, and he disturbingly really loved it, he says.
Yeah, that's right. I was looking at that quite recently, that sketch. It's the all-new Alexis Sale show, I think. So we shot it in Hastings, and it's, Chris Jury. Yeah, hi, Chris. Yeah, we had a right laugh. And, yeah, it's I can't remember. It's a revolver he's firing. I can't remember what the make.
Ooh, I might look up for that sketch, and if it's pod-worthy, I'll slip in a clip of it.
Yeah, I wrote it as well.
Oh, wonderful. Well, he saw you a few years ago at the Chelsea Arts Club. He was with Dudley Sutton.
Oh, Dudley, dear Dudley.
He loves the podcast, loves the bike rides, love the sandwich bar.
Pretty Dudley Sutton's dead. I've got a few stories about Dudley Sutton.
Who's Dudley Sutton? Excuse my
ignorance. Oh, well, we'll talk about Dudley Sutton next time. Ask me about Dudley Sutton next time.
Okay. Okay. Well, he says there's love, and he's been involved with trade unions and left-wing politics all his life. He still runs the Toll Puddle Radical Film Festival.
Oh, all right.
He does more writing and directing now.
How'd you say that? You know, this in like The Wire and stuff, they say all right. They say all right, but they say in a particular kind of way. Oh, that's better. How'd you do it again?
I. Like Ali G used to do.
I. Yeah,
aight.
I don't know.
I.
No, nah, it doesn't sound quite right.
It's all vowels. Oh, just get rid of all the consonants.
Aight.
There you go.
Right. Yeah, that sounds right to me. Forget it. Anyway, so, yeah, Chris Jury, yeah. Yeah. Many, yeah. We talked about my Lovejoy that we did together.
Yes.
Well, haven't we? It was 20 grand for a Kazi Lovejoy.
Yeah.
She played a cripper. It is as bad. You know, like sometimes I am self-deprecating where I say something's bad and it's not, it's really good. But that Lovejoy is really bad. I mean, it's genuinely bad. My performance is terrible. I'm not being self-deprecating at all. It's just
well, you know, I had to watch the whole episode when I was clipping it up for the podcast, and I was entertained. After hearing you say how bad it was and why it was bad, because you thought you were a big Hollywood hotshot now.
Yeah, I thought I was going to Hollywood. Yeah,
and you're almost doing it out of charity. You know, Lovejoy. They'll kill to have me this Hollywood hotshot on their show. So but I don't want to speak badly of you, Alexi. You're my friend and my boss, more importantly.
But that is just
you were doing a sketch, but
yeah.
And also the concept of the episode, it was about a fucking antique toilet.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
I don't know. I can't remember.
But I think the ending, the conclusion of your character's arc was actually executed quite nicely.
Was it? I can't
the remember. Money you dropped off the money. He kind of got his... You got your comeuppance at the end.
It wasn't helped by the fact that I was supposed to be in Spain, wasn't I, by a swimming pool, and it was clearly a freezing cold swimming pool somewhere near Essex or in Essex.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
I
odd.
I didn't know with the believability. Anyway, yeah, great to speak to you. That was a great sketch. And we had to, I remember we had to write back in laugh and in the hotel bar afterwards. And yes, I remember you very fondly.
Well, that's been fun. In conclusion.
Yeah, this is it's a more laid back. We can shed all those listeners we got with Jeremy.
Yep.
And go back to being, you know, happy.
We don't like staying too popular for too long.
Oh, I think it's good. Oh, you know, at this point, I think it's really good, this episode.
I've enjoyed it. I think this is the nuts and bolts of our show. Like, when we get guests on, that's the dressing.
It's a different thing, yeah.
That's the garnish. And it's great and it's wonderful, but it's Alexi's show. And here he is, goddammit, listening to your emails and fucking responding to him.
Exactly.
Any parting words?
No, just... No.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye. Say bye-bye, Sooty. Can you say Sooty anymore? Bye-bye, Sooty. Bye-bye, Sweep.
Me.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Alexi Sell Podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkuti. Music by Tarboosh Records. Thanks to Anthony Overton for the sound mixing. And to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexiselpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.
What seems to be the trouble, officer?
Could I see your license, sir? And the name is?
Gordo.
Mr. Gordo?
No, just Gordo. One word, you know, like Maradona.
And why were you speeding, sir?
Well, there's some people waiting for me. They've been waiting rather a long time. I said I'd meet them yesterday.
Where are these people, sir?
They're on a road that leads to nowhere, but which crosses a blasted barren landscape.
What, like the M25?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. I'm just a bit worried, though, you know, because if I don't get to see them soon, I think they'll probably ricochet between elation and despair and cause the barriers of drama to be redefined.
Well, I can't. Excuse me a moment, sir. Go on, get on the radio.
Okay. Hi, we're back. And this next one's for the Croydon Posse at Avon Plastics.
I'm afraid we can't let you continue in this car. You've no brake lights, and your tyre tread depths do not conform to EC safety standards, I'm afraid.
Well, what am I to do?
You have to leave the car here, sir. Now, I'm going to give you a ticket. I'm going to give you a ticket for an inspector calls at the Library Theatre staff. Now, be off with you.
You a student then?
I'm an elusive figure. I travel, but I don't necessarily arrive. I may not exist. My friends, who may not be my friends, they constantly bicker, always intending to move, but never moving, putting everything off until tomorrow.
Sounds like a student to me. What are you meeting these mates of yours?
I'm meeting Vladimir and Estragon on a road to nowhere, underneath an oak tree. I'm terribly late, you know, awfully late, and I'm worried that if I don't get there soon, they may lapse into nihilistic despair.
I'm gonna give them a bell on the mobile.
I don't think they've got a mobile.
Everybody's got a mobile, mate. Oh, car behind. Cavalier. Headlamp washes. Colour-coded bumpers. Christ, it's a 2.5 V6 Diplomat Special Edition. Leather seat facings and an optional passenger airbag. Senior regional managers and above. Damn. Well, I'm only a 2-litre SRI. You know, senior reps, planning managers, heads of personnel, electric front windows, but no bloody CD. Damn. Come on. Go on. Yeah. You want to give him a bell on the old Mobilo? Oh? Another Cavalier? black bumpers, no rear wash wipe. Black exhaust smoke. It's a 1.7D Envoy. Wind-up windows, no ABS. Junior reps, assistant computer programmers, and below. There's no way you're passing me, mate. You can forget it. Oh, he's flashing his lights. Piss off! Bastard! Liter diesel, no fuel injection. Well, police car. Vauxhall carton. 2 meter out, I'm not moving over for that.
We have to come back tomorrow.
What for?
To wait for Godot.
He didn't come.
No.
And now it's too late.
Lads, I'm here. I'm here. Sorry to keep you waiting. Sorry to keep you waiting, lads. Anyway, I'm here, so... Shall we push off?
Hey?
Oh, sorry to keep you waiting, lads. Don't have the time getting here. Anyway, I'm here now, and I've got some tickets for the wrestling, so shall we go?
What?
Aye, lads. Oh, you'll never believe the time when I get here. Oh, sorry to keep you waiting. Anyway, fancy a drink?
Typical. You wait ages for one to come along and suddenly three come up at once.